The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline for the first time today. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports. He was part of the call for Texas-Maryland this weekend. He'll be part of a big one in the Pac-12. Two ranked teams going at it, USC and Stanford. Bruce Feldman on Pushing the Odds. Bruce, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you, Matt.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Let's start with Texas and Maryland and that back-and-forth battle. The rain delay didn't really help, or the weather delay I'm sure didn't help you guys in the broadcast booth. But what'd you make of Texas's performance and the fact that in back-to-back years, as double-digit favorites, they lose to Maryland?
Yeah, it was pretty underwhelming. I mean, they were not sharp coming out of the gate. They got into a deep hole there. Sam Ellinger, who's a talented young quarterback, but was really shaky, missed some throws, missed some reads early, and then they had some turnovers late. And one of the things Tom Herman told me in the coming off the field at the end of the second quarter was, hey, our guys are in our own, they're in their own heads. They are trying to be too perfect. And, you know, his answer to that was to go up tempo and try to just kind of get them to just play. But you have a team that's really showing a lot of growing pains because I think they're talented. They're talented enough to be a legit top 25 team. But just they're not very efficient, and I think we've seen Tom Herman try to be a little more involved in the offensive play calling. And right now, I don't feel like they have a lot of identity there in what they're doing. And I think they'll certainly get better. But for people who thought they were going to be, you know, springboard back and Texas is back into the top 10 team, they're going to have to wait a little while longer because right now the makeup of that team is just not such where they're ready to compete for 60 minutes.
Now, the offense had the big play potential. They put up some big numbers against Maryland, but the defense also was victimized by the big play. Were you surprised to see that defense give up as much yardage in big plays as they did?
A little, because Todd Orlando is one of the best regarded defensive coordinators in the country, and they do have some players. They have some really good cornerbacks, although they did miss one of their starting cornerbacks got hurt in the second quarter with a neck injury, and that was a big That was an impactful loss for them. But I think the flip side of this is Maryland has some pretty good skill guys.
Yeah.
They have five really good running backs. Kasim Hill's a good quarterback. His offensive line's experience. And they have some pretty athletic receivers. They have speed. And I thought Matt Canada did a nice job there with all the jet sweep stuff he likes to do. So they had Texas on their heels for a while. And they played a very emotional Maryland team. And I think that, you know, they were fired up. They were playing for a teammate who tragically passed away a month or so earlier, and I think that it was a pretty charged atmosphere to be around.
You know, Maryland is a team that out of the Big Ten, people kind of looked at them and said, you know, you don't belong in the Big Ten, and you know what type of year they're going to have. But you know, did the weather delay impact that game at all? It was tight. It was a tight finish. But did the weather delay did that factor into the outcome at all?
It's hard to say. I mean, you don't want to use it as an excuse, but I just thought that it was so many momentum swings there. I think that was a big struggle, you know, honestly. And to their credit, Maryland handled it a lot better than Texas did. And, you know, it's not like Maryland has a ton of experience. I mean, I think that that speaks to the character of those kids in that locker room.
Well, in terms of big surprises, Texas is up there, I think, for losing to Maryland. And then you got Michigan and Notre Dame, obviously a pretty big surprise. You know, what do you see from Jim Harbaugh here in year number four? Everyone in Michigan we've talked to has said he's, you know, he's sticking through this. He's going to fight through this. But at what point, if you're Coach Harbaugh or even if you're Michigan, do you say this might not be working?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they have struggled against their arch rivals, and to play the way they did the other night, I think was a real disappointment, no doubt about it. They're really good on defense, but it's not like this is a young team where they can have, you know, excuses or anything like that. I mean, Notre Dame looked like the better team to me when that game, you know, got rolling, and I think that I don't know what Michigan does. To me, if Jim Harbaugh goes 8-4 or even 7-5, I don't think they're going to fire him. You know, I just think that right now they have to figure out, okay, how can we get our offensive line going? How can we get more consistency in the run game? That should be Michigan football. That should be what Jim Harbaugh is about. And for some reason, they cannot get that figured out. And we'll see. They have, you know, they shook up his offensive staff quite a bit this offseason, and we'll see if they can get it going. I mean, it's one game, you know, because you lost the opener on the road against a good team doesn't mean the year is done. But I think it's just it's going to be a little bit of a process for them now.
Before we talk about USC and Stanford, the team that beat Michigan and a team that will play both USC and Stanford this year is Notre Dame. A 24-17 win at home. Some would say, look, that's what a good team is supposed to do, but now we've got the national championship college football playoffs conversation going on here for Notre Dame. Do you buy in that this could be a special year for the Irish?
I do think that this has a chance to be that. You know, can we get more consistency from Brandon Wimbush? That's the question. I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing right now is – Can he play like he did against a really good Michigan defense? I mean, Don Brown's excellent defensive coordinator. I think that's the big challenge. And if he can do that, then look out, because I think they're really talented on defense.
All right, you have Stanford and USC come up this weekend. Both Stanford and USC with big wins over San Diego State and UNLV. This is, you know, an early season matchup. You know, like we saw last night with Florida State and Va Tech. It's great to have a big game early in the year when it comes to conference play. But what are you expecting on either side from Stanford and USC this weekend?
Yeah, I want to see. Like last weekend, Bryce Love got bottled up by San Diego State, under 30 yards rushing. The passing game was really, really good for KJ Costello and JJ Arcega-Whiteside, and he lit up Rocky Long's defense. So now here comes USC. They had just given up over 300 yards on the ground to UNLV. What's going to happen against Bryce Love? You know, it's a little bit of a pick your poison, and USC's lost three of the last four times they've gone up to Palo Alto to play. JT Daniels, the true freshman quarterback's first start on the road. He looked pretty good against UNLV. Not great, but pretty good. You know, I can't wait to see that matchup, especially because right now I don't think there's a lot of confidence in USC's defense, and this is a good test for them. I think Stanford has one of the best offenses in the country, quite honestly.
The third quarter in that game against San Diego State really swung things, 15-3, the outscoring the Cardinal did to the Aztecs. But in the first half, was that San Diego State being just very athletic on their defensive line, or are there some offensive line trouble here brewing for Stanford?
You know, I wouldn't worry about that. I don't think it's really the case. I just think that Rocky Long's a really good defensive coach, and I do think they have some good players there. But we'll have to see. I mean, look, if USC, after what they struggled with last weekend against UNLV, if they somehow can shut down Bryce Love, then that maybe changes the equation. I mean, it's worth pointing out that a year ago, San Diego State held Stanford to 80 yards passing, and this time they gave up over 330. So maybe it's just a little bit of pick your poison there for them.
Bruce, USC and Stanford, obviously two very good teams, both ranked in the top 20. Washington, another team in the Pac-12 that lost over the weekend to Auburn in their opener. They left a lot of points on the field. But how do you feel about Washington's potential for the playoffs following the loss to Auburn?
You know, it's a long season. I think they're still really good, and I think they're the best team in the Pac-12. I think they have a chance for this. What I think ultimately is going to be the challenge is they're going to need some they may need some help because the Pac-12 just credibility took a big hit last year, going 1-8 in the bowls. This was a big opportunity to go on the other side of the country and beat a good Auburn team. They weren't able to do that. I think it would certainly help them if Arizona State could knock off Michigan State this week, or certainly USC when they get a chance, or Stanford when they get a chance to play Notre Dame, to win some of these big non-conference games, because that's the only way that really kind of gives a jolt to your credibility, and we'll see if they can get that.
Do you buy into this Pac-12 not being as good as the rest of the other Power Five, or is this just a cycle that they're going through, and this year they could bounce back and shut everybody up?
I think it's a cycle that, you know, looks, I mean, Washington didn't win the game, but they weren't, like, outclassed by Auburn. I mean, that was not a blowout or anything. I think it's too early to tell on some of this. I do think the Pac-12 North is one of the better divisions in college football when you look at the top three. But then you look at some of the rest of the league, the Pac-12 South has been a little shaky. It feels like that. So, you know, it's a long season. We've got to see what emerges. And teams get better over the course of the year, too.
Absolutely. Bruce, great stuff. Enjoy USC and Stanford. We'll all be watching. Appreciate the time today.
All right. Thank you.
That is Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. He'll be on that call for USC and Stanford. I think he's right. It's a long season, and we got a lot of games to go. But, you know, when you go into a hostile environment like that, and you have a chance to put your flag straight down into the heart of the SEC and say, we're here to play, well, it just harkens back to what happened the last time Washington played a SEC team in Atlanta against Alabama in the national championship game. And in that game, they scored 7 points. They scored 16 points in the game against Auburn over the weekend. It just at the point of attack, when it comes to the offensive line, when it comes to the defensive line, when it comes to moving these guys, when it comes to being able to find either overpower or to physically match the SEC, the Pac-12 just really has a tough time doing it. And, man, there's just a lot of really big question marks I've got for the Pac-12. And we won't learn a lot with USC and Stanford. We may see who the second-best team in the conference is following this coming weekend. But this is a big game. It's one of the few ranked opponent matchups we've got this coming weekend. Most of the games are rivalry games where one team is ranked, another is not. Like Iowa State, neither team is ranked, but a big rivalry game. So we're not going to learn a whole lot here unless there's big upsets in college football. All right, next, go back to the pros. Benjamin Albright, 104.3 FM. Let's talk more about the Khalil Mack trade to the Bears next. SB Nation Radio.